Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning and on opening day. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tasca.
It would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great. What do I know?
I'll give you a Tasca. Go to Strange Brew today before you go to the baseball game or after.
Well done. Well done. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And Robbie's got it right. Before you head over to Diddy Noble Field, stop by Strange Brew, especially when the weather gets a little colder. Nothing better than walking into a cold Diddy Noble Field with a hot cup of Strange Brew Coffee. But the Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, especially if you're cooking out in the left field lounge, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It's opening day, but it's always grilling season. Grilling season doesn't have an opening day, nor does it have a season finale. It's all year long. And so we grill, and we grill beef here in the state of Mississippi. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything Mississippi State, everything interlocking state script and M over S, they've got it at College Corner. If you need to get new Mississippi State gear, College Corner is the place to do it. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not by account number. You need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is opening day. It has been a long and hard and arduous process to get here, but we are finally here. A little later in the show, former Diamond Dog, Jonathan Holder, will join us for a fun conversation. The bench mob was mentioned. Don't you worry about that, Robbie Falk.
No longer looks like Kenny Powers, but
he does not. He's very conservative in the way he dressed. I asked him about that as well. We've been talking about it for months. I mean, really, I feel like Mississippi State fans have been in baseball mode since the Texas football game. When that game got away from State, they were just like, I'm going to go somewhere where I can't be hurt, and that is baseball. This is the most expectations I can ever remember preseason on a Mississippi State baseball team, maybe on any Mississippi State team, as we discussed on Monday's podcast. I feel that this team is built to win a national championship. It has a coaching staff that has won national championships before and has the knowledge and the know-how of how to get to that point. I feel like everything is in place for this team to be one of the top teams all season long, and we should be in for a great ride this college baseball season. But Robbie doesn't agree. He agrees with Chris Burke. And no, I'm just kidding. This is something I'm
really down on this team.
I thought it was interesting.
That's been well documented.
Yesterday on Sports Talk, we had Todd Walker on, former LSU Tiger, now works at the SEC Network. And he was kind of, I don't know if critical is the right word, but not as optimistic about Mississippi State. And he talked about some of the newness. I wonder if these former players are thinking there's just too many new faces for Mississippi State, and that's where their concern is. I guess that has to be the answer because – I come back to it. If this, I think this team is loaded and ready to win big this year, but some guys who have played this sport don't agree with me.
I just don't think they've really – I think they've done kind of like the upper grade look, upper scale look at Mississippi State. They haven't really dug deep. I mean, the people that cover it every day that know the inner workings of – you know, the transfer portal and recruiting and stuff like that, they look at this roster and they'll tell you this is a team built for Omaha. I'm not saying I don't trust Todd Walker or Chris Berg or any of those guys' thoughts on college baseball. I absolutely do. And on baseball in particular, there's not many people that I would trust more than those guys and how baseball works and how a baseball player operates and things like that. But when it comes to digging into the roster, I just don't think that those guys have really done a deep dive on what Mississippi State has. And that's okay because they're covering 16 teams. I mean, Burke's covering more than that because he kind of is a more
He does the
like
D1
wide
podcast, so
range.
yeah.
Yeah, he's more wide range college baseball. Walker is more of an SEC guy, but that's a 16 team scope. I mean, I can't tell you that much about Arkansas. I think they're going to be pretty good,
Yeah.
but I can't dig in and say, here's who they got at first base. Here's what they're doing, their battle in the outfield. Like, I don't know all that. So I think that it's one of those deals. They're probably taking a little bit of a wait and see approach. They know they've lost some players. They're replacing a coach, and hey, that's a question mark. Even with Brian O'Connor coming in, it is a new place. He's never been anywhere other than Virginia. He hasn't coached in the SEC.
Right.
There's players here that haven't done it, and there's players here that haven't done it at Mississippi State. And we've seen it before. We've seen some really talented players fold here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very different place. And some of it is warranted, some of it isn't. Some of it is, fans' expectations are a little bit unrealistic on certain things, or the knee-jerk reactions or the reactions they have following certain situations. It's a pressure cooker here. And Ron Polk used to talk about that dating back to the 80s and 90s.
I felt like there are times Polk kind of used it as an excuse,
Yeah.
which was bothersome. Something we got on the text line yesterday, I wanted to get your thoughts on. And basically it said, we know this Mississippi State team has improved greatly from last year. Do we know the same for the other teams in the conference? Do we know that, is LSU better than they were a season ago? Is Ole Miss better than they were a season ago? Arkansas? I don't know if that's an easy question to answer or not, because going into what you just said, we aren't familiar as we probably should be with some of their rosters. But I can't think that there's not a more improved team in the country than Mississippi State. They have to be, from opening day 25 to 26, had the biggest improvement.
I mean, if you just objectively look at this and you look at the roster, you look at the players that they've added, the experience that they have, they got depth on the mound, although a lot of it is not proven in the sense that like players competing for championships and competing every single weekend. So we haven't, there's some questions there. But to me, the biggest thing is, and I'm not taking a shot at Chris Lemonis here, there's a big difference between Chris Lemonis and Brian O'Connor.
Yeah.
Resume, everything. I know they both have one national championship, but long term, Brian O'Connor has done it at a significantly higher level. And again, not a shot at Chris Lemonis because this is in comparison to most coaches in college baseball. What he has done is a Hall of Fame resume. And it's not just because he's won one national championship, he has consistently competed at a very high level at a place that has never been any good. I mean, ever. Until he arrived, they had done nothing. So that to me is a big enough upgrade for Mississippi State. You have a guy that demands the little things be done, and that to me has been the biggest issue for Mississippi State when they've performed poorly, has been those little things. Not being able to lay down a bunt, booting a ball at third base, base running errors, pass balls, wild pitches, just things that they can control. I feel like they had those things happen so much more than just about anybody else. At least the teams that hold themselves in a high watermark, not Missouri or somebody like that.
Right.
Mississippi State considers themselves in the same realm as the Arkansas and the LSUs, but they haven't performed that way. This is a guy that demands that. He demands those things be cleaned up. You clean up a lot of those problems, you make your roster better, you added a better coaching staff, in my opinion. It's just hard to imagine this not being a significantly improved team this year, a year after they were a two seed, and two seasons after they should have been hosting,
Yeah.
probably. This is a team that again, we've followed it closely enough. They should be a national seed contender. I mean, that's your expectations.
Yeah, 100%. Which player are you the most excited to see? Is it a guy you've seen before, or is it one of the new faces?
That's a good question. Do I want to go to the mound or do I want to go
Give me one
positionally?
of each. Give me a pitcher and a position player.
Okay, positionally, the guy I want to see the most is Aidan Teal.
Okay.
I'm really excited about what he brings to the table in center field. I love a center fielder that lays his body on the line, is, gap to gap, making plays. That's Aidan Teal. He's a guy that can cover a lot of ground. He's going to make a lot of diving catches. He's going to make a lot of catches at the wall. He's going to bang off the wall. He's going to, collide. I mean, it's going to be a guy that there's going to be some times you're worried. But that's the kind of guy I want in center field. That's what we saw with Jake Mangum. Rowdy Jordan did it. That's the kind of guy I want out there. And that's the kind of guy I want in the batter's box leading off the ball game. I think he's going to be a dog. So I'm really excited about Aidan Teal. So I'm going to go with him because it's a
Okay.
new guy. I think we've seen enough of these other guys to know what to expect for the most part.
Okay.
Pitching wise, I'm excited to see Tyler Pitzer.
Okay.
We haven't talked a lot about him since he came to Mississippi State, but he was one of those guys that we talked a lot about whenever he was performing really well in the Cape Cod League. I feel like that's died off a little bit, but we forget, or maybe we don't forget, we just hadn't talked much about it lately. This was the pitcher of the year in the Cape Cod League. He was dominating everyone in the Cape Cod League. I just think him joining up with Justin Parker is going to unlock something in his game. He wasn't great at South Carolina, but I think you pair him up now with Justin Parker, I think you can see a Tyler Davis, Tyson Hardin type jump for him. Maybe even a Cal Steven type jump where he's, I don't know if he'll be an all-SEC guy or not, but he's certainly got the stuff to be a really good pitcher for Mississippi State. And I'm just thrilled to see where he ends up. I don't know if it's going to be in the starting rotation before it's all said and done. I talked to him in the fall, and that's where he really wanted to be ultimately. I don't know if that's going to be his role, if his role is going to be back of the bullpen. There's some things you can do with him. He has several pitches. It's not a one-trick pony.
Right.
So I'm ready to see what happens with him and Duke Stone in particular, because I think both of those guys are going to be really good pitchers for Mississippi State. We talk a lot about those starters, those three starters. We haven't really dug in enough into the bullpen to talk about what to expect out of the bullpen. They have a lot of options there.
So for me, I think the position player I'm most excited to see is the catcher, Kevin Molewski. Mainly because these last couple years have been so, it's just tough to watch teams run at will on Mississippi State. Basically, anybody who got to first these past couple years, you might as well just go ahead and put them on second because they were just going to get there. The defense behind the plate has not been up to an SEC level. And then on you add to the fact that he should be, a 15 home run guy. I'm excited to see what that guy can do. I'm excited to see runners have to think twice before they take off against Mississippi State. From a pitching standpoint, I don't see how I can pick anybody other than Jack Bauer. And I don't know what to expect from Jack Bauer. I know that I've seen at least one publication list him as their preseason freshman of the year. And I'll be honest with you, Robbie, I don't know if he's even going to pitch more than 20 innings this year. I don't know what to make of him. When I talked to Justin Parker a couple weeks ago and asked him about him, I thought I was going to get like a pretty standard, well, he's got a long way to go and we're excited about the talent, but he's a freshman, blah, blah, blah. But Parker made it sound like there may be a role for him to play this year. And if that's the case and you can harness that kind of talent, that's something that nobody else in the country is going to have. So I'm excited to see him come out there and pump up 102 miles per hour from that left side and see it just dare guys to hit it.
What I'll say about Jack Bauer, here's how I would encourage Mississippi State fans to approach Jack Bauer this year. Set your expectations really low. Because if you don't see him go out there, or if he struggles, and your expectations were this dude's going to be the freshman of the year, like some people have already tabbed him, then you're just setting yourself up to be disappointed.
Agreed.
This is a really hard game. It's really difficult to go from high school senior to the SEC. I mean, you're talking about guys right now that could probably be playing in minor league baseball. There's several of those guys that could already be moving up the ranks, getting closer to playing in the MLB. A couple of those guys could be playing Triple A baseball right now. You know, that's just where the talent is in this league. You're no longer the big dog on campus. You know, it was easy for him in high school to hum 103 in there to, you know, bless his heart, 5'8", 150, you know, first baseman or something from his high school he's going up against. That's easy. What are you going to do against Noah Sullivan? You know, what are you going to do against Garrick Frey, Ace Reese? Like, these are All-American type hitters. It's going to be a lot more difficult for him to get those guys out. He's going to have to figure out a way, which all indications are he is, to be more than just that 103 mile an hour fastball. It needs to be a guy that by the end of his career at Mississippi State, we're not talking about him being a guy that throws 103. We're talking about him just being a great pitcher. And the 103 just comes along with the with everything else, but the slider, the curveball, the changeup, what are you doing to catch teams off guard? Because 103 just means if you're throwing that thing flat, just means it's going to get out of there faster. So it's a lot more difficult to make that jump than people think. You just see a guy throwing 103 that should have, hey, he should have been a first round pick. Why is he not all SEC? Well, it's a lot harder than that. So set your expectations low for Jack Bauer. Whatever you get from him that's good this year is massive because you're going to have this guy for, I think, 3 years. I think he's a 3 year guy. So just set your expectations low. I think I would put him out there. If this is a blowout this weekend or something, I'd put him out there in an inning and let him get some work, or, you know, midweek, let him get some work, maybe against Troy or somebody if you have a game in hand. But let him get out there, let him fail if he has to, put him in situations where he can succeed and let him build towards that.
Who's a player that we haven't talked about enough? You mentioned Tyler Pitzer. Is there somebody else that you're thinking, hey, maybe have not given this guy the due we should?
I'm trying to think who we haven't talked about much. You know, we spent a little time
I've got
on
one name that stands out to me. I'll tell you, as a pitcher, and that's William Kirk. I don't know how much we've talked about him, but that's another guy coming in. That I think, a young player again, but a plus arm, and a guy who I think, if he can find a niche, could be a big role player for Mississippi State. When we talk to Holder, it's kind of the same thing here. It's like you got to have these role players in your bullpen now. It's not your starter gives you 6 or 7 innings, and then you got a setup guy, and then your closer. You got to have all these different guys. And William Kirk, I think, has a part to play for Mississippi State this year.
He does. That was a guy that last year was kind of trending towards entering the starting rotation with Tomas Valančiūnas as a freshman. So that was a player that they were extremely high on. He had an injury, unfortunately, knee injury took him out for the year. You know, they were kind of trying to sneak him in here because they felt like he was going to be a hot commodity. So that is a player that I could see, you know, it might be a little bit because he's getting his bearings here. He hasn't pitched in a college game yet. But that is a very intriguing arm. I love the idea of just getting a lot of these talented players, even if they haven't really done a whole lot yet, or maybe they struggled like a Brendan Sweeney at South Carolina, and letting Justin Parker just kind of mold them, because that's what he has done so well, is he's taken talented players that maybe they were, you know, pushed aside, or they weren't getting developed very well, or whatever was happening just was not going their way, and he's kind of molded them into really good pitchers. I think that's what he can do with William Kirk. I think he can do that with Brendan Sweeney, big physical right-hander from South Carolina. You know, Maddox Webb is a player that I think that we're not discussing much that could be a factor in the bullpen.
Let me ask you about a guy. A couple of people brought him up yesterday on the text line, and a player I don't have a lot of knowledge of is Patrick Spencer, JUCO guy from Pearl River. What's his role? Can he does he have a role to play?
Yeah, another guy that talented arm. He did some really good things for Pearl River last year. And there's, he's a JUCO guy that can come in, I think, and give you some good innings as well. They have a couple other guys too. Peyton Fowler, I think, is another one that was pitching a lot in the fall, and he's pitched some in the spring. Those are players. I mean, you're talking about the length of the season. Like, State's playing two midweek games either this week or next. Like, those are games where you need guys like that to eat up some innings for you, so you're not digging into your main guys. And those might be main guys, I don't know, but this is kind of their this is the part of the season where those players start to emerge. Ben Davis came out in that first matchup with Southern Miss last year. We saw him come into the ball game, and he really shut down Southern Miss, and you started to figure out, okay, this guy could probably help. He's probably gonna be able to help you. These games are where that starts to really come into fruition. So you throw them all out there, you see which ones stick, and then by the end of the year, you start to really develop a core group of players. Like Holder said, it's no longer what it used to be, where you have a long reliever, you have a middle reliever, a setup guy, and then when the eighth or ninth inning rolls around, here comes Jonathan Holder. Here comes Landon Sims. It's not like that anymore. And you really don't have a lot of starters anymore that are going to go super deep into ball games. I think Justin Parker would like that. He had that with Cal Stephen and Gerangelo Sanja. But it's almost kind of like it's almost become like you have maybe one or two guys on the weekend that are more like openers. Now, I think State has a more traditional rotation with these three, but you're not always going to have three games with seven innings from your starters. So you have to have players that play their roles, and they have to be ready for those roles. There are several guys in there: Jackson Logar, Maddox Webb, Peyton Fowler, Chris Billingsley. Can he come in and eat up some innings for you, the JUCO guy of EC? They have a chance to use a lot of these guys this year.
Make me a prediction, Robbie Falk. What is this Diamond Dog team going to be when season ends?
I think it's going to be a national seed team. I think it's a team that somebody asked me yesterday for an over under on SEC wins. I set that at 15, 15 and a half. I think they'll go over that. I think this was a 16 to 18 win SEC team with that schedule. And that you look at, some people might look at that as short changing them. I just think that it's going to be a very difficult road for Mississippi State, and they will take some losses along the way. Now, I could also see this team accepting that challenge and getting 20 or something. But if this is a 16 to 18 win SEC team, that is going to be a team that is firmly in position to not only host but be pushing for a national seed.
Yeah, I would think 18 conference wins with this
18,
schedule.
we get it.
You're
So I think
almost.
they're going to be somewhere between 7 and 16 on the seed line.
Oh, I think 18 wins with this schedule, Robbie. You're probably
Well,
fourth
no,
or fifth.
I'm just saying, if they get 18, I think they're national.
Okay,
But I'm just saying, like, I have them 16 to 18 SEC wins.
yeah. So
So
16 wins,
if
yeah.
they have 16, they're probably on the outside of a national seed. They're probably 9 through 16 there.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where I am, just because I want to see it first. Now, I have very high expectations for this team, but I do think we have to consider this schedule. It's probably maybe the second or third toughest schedule in the SEC, and you could argue it's up there with the toughest. But Ole Miss is probably tougher than State because they play State.
Exactly. Ole Miss plays nine ranked teams, and the only team they play that isn't ranked is Alabama, who is probably 27th, 28th
Who's a
in
really
the.
good team?
Yeah,
Who
they
has,
have. They...
who might have the SEC Player of the Year on their team?
Exactly. So, opening day, my friend. Looking forward to that. Once again, there's been no update as of this moment. It's almost 2 o'clock on Thursday. I don't know. We're gonna find out, but they haven't done anything yet. So just still 4 o'clock first pitch to start off the 2026 season for Mississippi State. Let's move into our interview with Jonathan Holder. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. When you get out of the game tonight, head on over to Two Brothers, head over to the older brother to enjoy a fantastic post-game meal tomorrow. If you wanted to go pre-game for lunch or post-game for dinner, hey, Valentine's Day, nothing says I love you like smoked Southern soul food. I mean, I think we all know that. Exactly. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother, show the one you loved
We
the
will be there
love.
on Friday.
Yes, we will be at the older brother on Friday. That's right. Let me double check that. Let me make sure. I'm pretty
Well,
sure it's me.
I got a text yesterday.
Oh,
So I
you got
think that
one.
we've both been
All right.
lined up. I think we're good.
All right, we should be good. Looking forward to the older brother on Friday. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. Need technology for your business? Give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, same number, same people. They know you know them. You've got the relationship already. And because they're in Mississippi just like you, they can solve your problems a lot of times the exact same day. Don't make the mistake of giving your business to somebody who doesn't know you by name. Deal with Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, you've got to make a trip over to Maroon & Co. to get some great new Mississippi State gear. Everything you're looking for, and I do mean everything, and stuff you can't find anywhere else. That's the main thing. You can find MSU gear at a lot of different places. You can only get the greatest selection at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. You can also use that online at marooncoco.com. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, go to Duty Noble and go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Hey, spring is, I mean, we're talking about baseball. We're talking about opening day. That means spring is almost here. Get ready and get set with John Deere. Get that lawn looking its absolute best. Whether you're a professional or just a weekend warrior, John Deere makes it easier. The John Deere commercial mowers right now, 0% financing for 36 months. If you got the big jobs, you need the compact tractor, 0% financing for 60 months. That's 2031 with 0% financing. Don't mess around. Talk to our friends at Scruggs. They'll get you taken care of. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. Good Hope Land and Timber, experts in their field, experts in your field. That's right. If you are a landowner, they can help you make the most smart, sustainable, and profitable decisions regarding your land. If you're trying to buy or sell land, be it a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly get the ball rolling for you on that. There's a reason they're locally trusted and landowner approved. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're looking to buy, sell, or just maintain your own land, call Good Hope Land and Timber. All right. Earlier today, I spoke with Jonathan Holder, former Diamond Dog, one of the all-time greats to wear the M over S, and of course, part of the 2013 national runner-up team here at Mississippi State. Great conversation with him. All of our interviews, as you know, are brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. Opening day, all weekend at Duty Noble. Man, maybe you're gonna go a little harder than you need to. Well, just know that on Monday morning, you can head to Alora Modern Wellness and get yourself taken care of. Get recovery that you need. And of course, if you're not a partier, if you're a worker, if you're a gym rat, recovery is just an important piece of being a healthy person. Alora Modern Wellness provides you so many different services that get you feeling the way you want to. Their website is aloramodernwellness.com. You can book everything right there, or you can just call them at 662-268-9255. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this conversation with former Diamond Dog, Jonathan Holder. Let's talk to one of the all-time great Diamond Dogs here on opening day. Jonathan Holder, All-American, one of the greatest closers, not only in Mississippi State, but in SEC history, kind enough to join us. And Jonathan, do closers have the mentality of, I hope I don't pitch today? You'd like to just have a nice 10-0 lead in the ninth inning and you have the day off?
Yeah, it depends how many innings you've thrown the last few days before that. I know, after you get worked hard pretty good for a couple of days, you definitely hope for a good 10-0 victory.
When you look back at the 2013 team, was that team kind of ahead of its time in the way pitching goes now? You don't see starters going 7, 8 innings as much. You have guys who are openers, kind of the way you guys went with Trevor Fitz and bullpens that have roles and things like that. It feels like that team was like 10, 12 years ahead of where baseball is now.
Man, props to Coach Cohen and Butch Thompson, man, they it wasn't like a thing then, you know. It was we all knew our roles, and they did a great job coaching us and helping us understand our identities and what we were for the team. So yeah, I mean, we had the starters, we had the openers, we had sometimes we'd throw from 9 to 1, you know, we'd throw our back end guys first to get through and close the game with somebody else. So the next time I saw that was probably 6 or 6 years later, and the Rays were doing that. You
Yeah.
know, the Tampa Bay Rays were the first team in the big leagues, and I was like, man, that looks weirdly familiar.
You didn't even know it at the time. You had a major league philosophy working there in the clubhouse here in Starkville. Who would have guessed
That's
the
right.
bench mob would have been that far ahead of the way things were going?
The bench. Yes.
You knew I was going to throw at least one reference to the bench mob.
Hey, I knew. I watch that video all the time. I got a 4-year-old boy that absolutely loves it. So,
So when I say opening day, what does that mean to you?
man, it's special. It's fun. Brings back really fond memories, you know, especially at Mississippi State. Just the buzz in the air around campus when you go eat at Starkville Cafe and everybody's chatting about it, you know, and then you get to show up and man, all the smoke in the outfield. It's a special time of year.
Is there a, I don't know if there's an opening day memory just because, you know, I don't know that you guys played a whole lot of just great series to open up the season. But I'll ask this: you know the expectations for this year's Mississippi State baseball team. Everybody's looking at this team and saying back to Omaha with them. I don't think coming into 2013, people had that expectation necessarily. At what point in the season did you look around and go, "Hey, wait a minute, this is a team that can go a long way"?
I agree. I don't think there were expectations like that. The expectations are tough to deal with, really. I mean, 2013, I think we were expected to be good. We won the SEC tournament the year before, so we knew as a team we could win. And I think that's where moving into 2013, we all had a little bit of that taste in our mouth, and that's when we knew about. I'd probably say midway through the year when we hadn't lost a midweek game and we were just crushing teams in the middle of the week and moving on to the SECs and taking 2 out of 3s from teams that were really, really good. I think we knew then we had something special going on.
How different is it nowadays, do you think? You know, think about the chemistry you guys had. You'd played together so many games. This team has got a lot of guys who are going to be playing their first games ever at Mississippi State. How much does chemistry play into that? And is that something that you can just get midway through the year, or is it something that has to come from years of playing together?
You know, those relationships, obviously they get stronger over time. So time does play a factor into that, in my opinion. But when you have a great staff and coaches like Coach Oak, that I know his philosophy on team and I know how much that means to him. You know, I think he's creating an environment up there that it's not going to take long for these relationships to bloom and for people to be leaning on each other and trusting each other. Not just in the game, but outside of the game too.
You said you know Coach O'Connor. What's your relationship with him?
So, I don't know him well. We ran across each other in Virginia. I think that was June of 2013. And I know moving forward, we met a couple times since he was at Mississippi State. And man, he's just so uniformed. Everything about him is poised and all the messages that he preaches is what I believe in. So, I mean, it's so encouraging to see that he's running the program there the way he is.
He's that, you know, by trade a pitching coach as well. Did he ever tell you anything about pitching? Did he ever give you some any advice?
No, I never got any, unfortunately. You know, had we had a relationship a little bit earlier on, I know I would have been calling him and leaning on his ear while I was still playing.
So, and just speaking of that Virginia regional, do we know if that home run that Wes Ray hit, did it ever land?
Not yet, not yet.
I love talking to Wes about that. Like that ball is still traveling. One of the longest
Ball
home
was
runs
smoked.
I've ever seen. What's the Duty Noble memory for you? What's the one that stands out above all others?
Man, that's such a good question. I've got so many memories there from my freshman year. play in infield and outfield and hitting and moving to pitching only. I think my first game ever, it may have been opening day of my freshman year or the second game. It was against Washington State. I remember it like it was yesterday, and coming in and not understanding, thankfully, how big that moment was going to be for me moving forward. And, I think that opening day is probably my best memory. And then, I've just got thousands of other memories of Duty Noble.
Is there a how to put this? How much of the memories are tied into? We were talking about this yesterday. The state released the list of everybody's walkout music, and I put myself through it because we came back from break and they played Your Love, and I was like, is that the most iconic one? And I was like, no, it's not. It's Jonathan Holder's. It's God's Gonna Cut You Down. Is that something? Does that memory, when you hear that song, are you immediately, taken back to the to being in the bullpen?
Immediately. I mean, I can imagine Coach Dry opening up the bullpen gates and me trotting out there and hearing people stomping and clapping and music going nuts, I think that song really does a number to me when I reminisce on my time at Mississippi State.
I think most Bulldog fans would agree with you on that one. And then when you go back to Omaha, when you think about those memories there, what's the one, is there something that stands out? Or just that whole postseason run? My first thought with you would be the last out of the Virginia Super Regional, where again Wes Ray had to play the role of Superman and scoop that throw from you. What did he say to you?
A
Or can
little
you repeat
explicit.
it?
I
Yeah.
can't repeat it exactly, but he said, "I got you. I got you." And he did. And that's how that whole team was. One guy slips, another guy picks you up and keeps running. That's just how that whole squad was.
I can believe that. The characters on that squad. I mean, we mentioned the bench mob, but like, I don't know in today's college baseball if Ross Mitchell, could still be a factor. And I'd like to think that he could be, but it's so much velocity right now. But I was talking yesterday about Paul Arena and having a guy like that in your team and what it can bring. Jacob Lindgren, and I mentioned Trevor Fitz. I don't know that Mississippi State will ever have a cast of characters like that on the pitching staff. I mean, they may have talented guys, but not guys that just brought so much on and off the field. Would you agree?
I
You,
agree, and I'll
I
tell you
don't want
what.
to lead you out of that. You're part of that too.
No, I agree, and I'm glad that Twitter and Instagram wasn't as popular as it was then, because these guys, I mean, dude, that was wild. That was just a wild time.
I think you are not alone. On being glad that there's not as much video of us in our younger days. When did you decide that the hair had to change?
It was sometime in my third year at college. I ended. Are you there?
Yeah,
Sorry, I
I'm
lost.
here. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
I cut it real short. And previous to having long hair, I had it buzzed off,
Yeah.
real short. And that's the way I like to keep it typically. And getting drafted by the Yankees, it was a firm policy. Old Yankees was above the
That's
ear,
right.
clean shaven, the whole thing. And so that's why I kind of kept on with it. Now, I enjoy not having a beard.
Were you at the alumni game?
I was, yep.
Did you? What were your thoughts on that? I mean, I had to think O'Connor had to be looking around at some point and going, "There's 11,000 people here for an all-star game in the middle of November." It had to be incredible.
I think Oak was shocked. Honestly,
Yeah.
I saw him walking around and his eyes were real big, and I was like, "Hey, man, they're here to watch a bunch of old, washed-up guys get hurt playing. That's what they're here for. So enjoy this."
What, how high up on the gun were you?
I actually didn't pitch. I was
Didn't pitch?
the no, I was Rafi's pitching coach. It
Oh,
was my
okay. Now, was
no.
that by choice? Did you just like I'm not doing that?
They asked me if I wanted to pitch, and I told them, I said, "Hey, is this going to be like competitive?" And they said, "Yeah, we want it to be competitive." I said, "Well, look, my shoulder's going to fall off if I try to amp one up. So I'll go in there and I'll make a pitching change and
There you
have
go.
fun."
That sounds good. Do you think you'll make it back to Duty Noble at some point this year?
I will. My family and I, we love coming to Starkville. Everything about it, football, basketball, baseball, we come up for all the sports, and we'll be there quite a bit.
We'll be looking forward to seeing you up here. Jonathan Holder, former Diamond Dog, man, appreciate your time today. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Great stuff from Jonathan Holder. We appreciate him. I am going to continue to try to get former player interviews. I think right now that's the way to go until we get into the season. Just talking to some former Diamond Dogs about their great times here. I think some of you guys enjoy, and I certainly enjoy bringing them to you. All right. When we come back to work, you know what's funny, by the way? I'll point this out. I'm about to mention it for the first time this show and maybe the first time this week, but Mississippi State plays Ole Miss in baseball and basketball on Saturday, and nobody cares.
Hide your kids. Don't, everybody run.
Don't look.
Run.
It's like the day after tomorrow. Just like get inside.
Shut the shutters, board up the house,
It will be,
and run for your life.
the bet will be over if State loses this game.
One of the worst games I've ever seen was earlier this year, Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. Now
When
these two teams,
are worse.
Ole Miss, by the way, since that game has lost six straight games.
Yes. Yes.
Mississippi State, since that game, the only team they've beaten is LSU.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I
Gonna be
mean,
ugly, but nobody cares. When
Paul
we come,
Jones does. Paul
Paul
Jones will be
Jones cares.
there.
I care because I don't want to lose this bet, but we'll see what I don't. It's gonna take a lot for me to get out of this.
Well, I am pulling for you, my
I
friend.
appreciate you, brother. All right. When we come back on Monday, we will have baseball to talk about. Looking forward to it. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.